Hey, welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. So in a couple of weeks, it's one of my favorite weekends of the entire year and the highlight of the summer. It's the Flashback Weekend Horror Convention, August 4th through the 6th this year at Crown Plaza O'Hare, flashbackweekend.com. Mike and Mia Kurz put it together, and it's the best horror con in the country as far as I'm concerned. Always have great things planned and events and screenings and great celebrities, and that doesn't change this year at all. Steve Procopi, who is the Chicago editor of Ain't It Cool News, is also one of the hosts at Flashback, and we spend the entire weekend basically running around with microphones.
Yes.
And here's Steve. Hi, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good.
You know, we've been doing this since the beginning. It's the 15th year. Which is amazing to me that it's been 15 years.
Isn't it 16 years this year? I thought last year was 15.
No, 2002 was the first one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was the premiere of Bubba Hotep and
right.
Bruce Campbell
came on. I'm forgetting the dates.
Yeah, it was 2002. Right. Okay. And so this is the 15th anniversary, which is crazy. And one of the best guests that you can have at any horror convention is headlining, and that's Robert England.
Yep. It's actually a healthy dose of. It's like a greatest hits show, really, this year. We've seen a lot of these people before, but rarely all in at the same time. So,
you know, Mike and Mia tend to do really wonderful things with reunions of casts and things like that. You know, they've done like the Dead movies and all the and lots of stuff. They had Scream reunion last year. But this is crazy, this Nightmare on Elm Street reunion. I mean, it's like there's like 50 people from every single chapter of the Nightmare series.
Yeah, but primarily four.
Yeah, which is fine with me.
It probably hasn't been this many of people from that movie in one location.
Nightmare Four.
Since they made it.
Nightmare Four is the one directed by Rennie Harlan,
right?
Which is a personal favorite of mine. It comes in third on my list of nightmare movies. It goes first one, New Nightmare, and then Four.
That's probably mine too.
Yeah,
actually. Yeah.
It has my favorite kill. Which is the girl turns into a cockroach and gets crushed in the in the Roach Motel. That's one of my favorite. I think that's my favorite Freddy kill in any of the movies.
Right.
She's going to be there. The girl who turns into a cockroach is going to be there. And they're screening for the Dream Master outdoor on the giant screen. And that'll be Saturday night at 8:15. And the cast is going to be there. And so basically all of SAG is going to be there to introduce the movie. So that's a lot of fun. What are some of the things that you enjoy every year at Flashback?
I mean, the last couple years we've been really lucky with these because this new – I guess it's a trend of restoring these old horror films that, you know, for a long time the restoration companies were doing classic films, you know, the big tent – they're not really tentpole, but they're just the classics, the ones you want to see –
You get your Lawrence of Arabia's
exactly.
You're, you know, Gone with the Winds and stuff.
And now they're sort of special. And a lot of times, like with the example with Phantasm last year, it's got because somebody in Hollywood who has a lot of pull just says, I want to do this.
Yeah.
And J.J. Abrams did that last year. And this year, just the guys that are doing it are big shots in the restoration industry. They just love this movie.
Yeah. Well, this year they're doing
Suspiria. Suspiria, right.
Yeah.
So.
When I saw that restoration for Phantasm, I hadn't seen it yet. And when I was sitting next to Don Coscarelli, and when the Avco Embassy logo came up on screen, I almost cried. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. And they did an amazing job with that restoration for Phantasm. And what they're doing with Suspiria, which incredibly is celebrating its 40th anniversary, which makes me feel like I'm 90.
Yeah.
The guys at Synapse have put they took the original 35mm negative, uncut version.
Right.
And then they took it from that, and that's what they did the restoration for in 4K digital with a completely new sound mix that's been recreated from the original sound mix in 77. And I still vividly remember how amazing the sound was when I saw that movie at the State Lake Theater the weekend it opened.
Yeah.
I was 12 years old, and the sound was just, like, insane.
And I'm actually looking forward to this even more than Phantasm just because – this is a crazy work of art.
Oh yeah,
like, I mean it's an insane person made this movie.
Yes, yes.
But it's a work of art. It's a great movie. There's a the neo futurists do these funny readings of what they call the best bad movies of the world, and apparently there was like a write-in campaign to them because Suspiria is on the list.
They did it. Because I made a little comment. Yeah,
people
I said
it happens to be. Movie.
It's a great movie. Yes. It's not a bad movie.
And they sort of changed the wording for Suspiria. They sort of changed to just like a classic.
Here's the thing, man. You don't want to piss off a Suspiria fan.
Exactly.
Or Argento in general. You don't want to do that, but it's especially Suspiria. And if you've never seen it, for my money, it's the scariest movie I've ever seen. Doesn't make a lick of sense, and I don't care, but it is visually astonishing.
There's just set pieces there that you could like freeze the frame and hang it on a wall.
Absolutely.
Like, it's beautiful.
And it's the best horror score ever by Goblin. It's just one of my favorite movies of all time.
I can't wait to see what they've done with it.
Yeah, and that's going to be Friday night at 10:30, and that's at the AMC Rosemont, formerly Movie Co.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Friday night at 10:30. The guys from the company who restored it are going to be there. I'm going to introduce it, and if you've never seen it, you should. If you've never seen it on the big screen, which a lot of people haven't.
Mm-hmm.
Last time I saw it on the big screen, the Film Center showed it about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was a 35mm print, but this is going to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's I've enjoyed this trend. I hope it continues because I want to keep seeing these movies probably better than they've ever been projected.
Without question. So. This is going to, I'm so excited about this because this is going to be the closest, in my opinion, to that. I'll never forget the morning I saw Phantasm. I saw it at 9 o'clock in the morning at the State Lake Theater the weekend Elvis died. And it made such a huge impact. It scared the hell out of me.
You talk about Suspiria?
Suspiria.
Phantasm?
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, did I say Phantasm?
Yeah, yeah.
Suspiria. Yeah, Suspiria. I saw it, and it made a huge impact on me. It scared the hell out of me. And it was, and that, the seeing it on the big screen, it was in 70mm, and it had the insane stereophonic State Lake sound. And it was a movie that had a massive impact on me. And I think that this screening next Friday, a week from Friday, is going to be as close to that experience as possible.
I'm sure it will. Yeah.
All right, listen, hold on, Steve. We've got to take a break. Steve Procopio is here, Chicago editor for Ain't It Cool News. And you're Capone on Ain't It Cool.
I'm both, yes.
You're both. All right, okay.
We do both.
You were Capone for a very long time.
I still
so people
am,
might
yeah.
still. Okay, but
yeah.
people might know you better if
that
they follow you.
Exactly.
Okay, so, the Flashback Horror Convention, you can check out flashbackweekend.com. We'll talk about some other stuff, too, right here on WGN. We've got a break for the news. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower. Coming up in a little bit, it's Wild Card Wednesday, so get your requests in now. Any artist, any song, anything, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200, and I'm going to give you some advice. If you're doing a road trip, I'm going to give you the best fast food stuff to get on the road so you can plan your road trip. And we're going to talk about nightmare vacation stories and road trips and stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. Right now, we're talking about the Flashback Weekend Horror Convention, which happens every summer here. And this year, it's next week, August 4th through the 6th at Crown Plaza O'Hare. I am one of the hosts. And we'll be, you know, doing moderating some panels and doing some other stuff and introducing some cool stuff. And Steve Procopi from Ain't It Cool News is also a host at Flashback Weekend and has been since the beginning as well. And then Heather Wixon is also a host. Between the three of us, we cover all the panels and all the stuff that has to get done. It's always a busy weekend, but it's always fun.
It just goes by in a blur, but it's some of the most concentrated work I do during the year.
There's no question about it, man. And I mean, I take the week off afterwards.
Yeah.
Since I've been full time,
yeah.
I take the week off after. And again, I want to talk a little bit about some of the other stuff that's at the convention. Mm-hmm. In addition to a ton of incredible celebrities, including Lance Henriksen and Robert Englund, and the Nightmare crowd, Curtis Armstrong is going to be there, and he's sticking around for a couple of days after to be at my Revenge of the Nerds screening. There's a ton of other people that are going to be. But in addition to that, if you've got money and you want to blow it on horror merchandise, the vendor room is spectacular.
Yeah,
every year. And they got people from all over the country who have really rare items and very cool stuff. If you want to buy, I bought a bust of Peter Cushing last year from Horror of Dracula Holding the Candlesticks Together.
Right.
It's on my coffee table at home right now. and I blow a lot of money at T-shirts and hats and all kinds of cool stuff. But it's just a lot of fun, and the vendors are awesome, and there's a ton of them.
I always say I'm not going to do it, spend the money, and I always do.
Same thing, man.
Damn it.
Yeah, same thing. It's the only time, it's really kind of the only time of the year where I do spend any money.
I don't travel to conventions anymore like I used to,
yeah.
So it's just kind of you do it this year and then kind of just somehow survive.
Yeah.
you know, who needs electricity?
You know, okay, I don't need gas for the month. I'm fine. So anyway, the Flashback Weekend is great. There's going to be an outdoor screening of Nightmare on Elm Street 4, as we mentioned, the restoration screening of Suspiria on Friday night. And all that great stuff is happening. Sven Gulli is going to be there. Always a highlight for me is watching him crack jokes about the costumes and the people in the costumes
yes.
at the contest, which happens on Saturday afternoon. And so tons of stuff, great celebrity photo ops. You can check out flashbackweekend.com for all of the information, and we'll be there all the weekend, and make sure you come up and say hi to us. So, but I, before we go into some of the other stuff, you were at Fantasia Fest, and we mm-hmm. want to get talk a little bit about that. But we, you and I have to talk about George Romero.
You can't talk about Flashback without thinking of Romero.
Can't. He was at three of the Flashbacks,
yeah.
And I met him at other screenings and stuff like that. And I think you and I have probably worked more with him than maybe any other people in Chicago in
both,
terms
both
of
in and out of that convention.
That's
yeah,
what I'm saying. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly.
So we did forge a bit of a relationship. He knew who we were.
Yeah.
And this one hurt, man. It's devastated me.
The only photo with me and a celebrity that I have in my hanging on my in my house is right inside the front door. There's just a little 5x7 that someone else took. It's not a selfie. That was before selfies.
Yeah.
Someone took of us at the first time I met him, actually, was at a tribute thing to him at the Biograph.
Yep.
And they played a bunch of his movies, and the guy who was running it asked me to do the Q&As. And that's the first time I met him. And someone snapped a photo and mailed it to me, and I brought it to him the first time. He did Flashback, and he signed the back of it, and I just have it right there.
The first time I ever talked to him was on the show. And we played back part of that interview on the morning that he passed.
Yeah,
and okay. It was 2004, the first time he ever went to Flashback. So we did like over an hour interview. I had him on the air for over an hour, and we talked about everything. And it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. But the first time I ever met him was at that 2004 convention. And you know what he was doing when I met him? He was buying 4 packs of cigarettes in the gift shop,
of
the hotel.
I knew exactly. I could picture
it. And I'm like, yeah, there he is. He's buying, because the guy, I mean, you know, and unfortunately died of lung cancer.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, the guy smoked like a fiend.
Yeah.
And one of the other times that I met him, away from the convention, I went to, they did a thing at the Music Box.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you were, you might have been there.
I don't remember. What did they play?
They played Dawn and...
Okay. I don't remember that.
And something else, and I can't remember what it was. But I met him as I walked up,
yeah.
He's outside in front of the theater smoking.
Yeah.
So
that's the image I have of him, actually.
Yeah. It's just the big glasses and smoking a cigarette.
And he's 6.5 feet
he's
tall.
He's huge.
So he just towers over you, even though he had like terrible posture. He's still but like he was just he's the guy. He might not have been the first hero. He might have been the first hero I ever met. Like a guy that I put on a pedestal.
Absolutely.
And I was nervous, and he just puts you at ease,
yep.
And he'll answer anything. One of my favorite things to talk to him about were projects that never got off the ground, that
yeah.
got really far. A lot of those were Stephen King adaptations that
yeah.
other people took that went from being movies to TV, like The Stand. He was supposed to do that as a movie. Even Salem's Lot, that was supposed to be an old, early film of
right.
his, and they both got made into TV
things. It's interesting that, because did you see Carpenter's statement about Romero?
Probably.
That they were, they
oh, yeah, yeah.
The three of them were supposed to do Two Evil Eyes. It was going to be,
right.
It was Argento
right.
and Carpenter and Romero. And they wanted to collaborate over the years. They wanted to collaborate on stuff and had, like you were saying, a lot of these projects that never really got off the ground. But, I mean, could you imagine if there was a movie that was collaborated on between Carpenter and Romero?
I know.
My head would explode.
But that's like, I mean, when he and Stephen King made Creepshow, Stephen King was my guy,
yeah.
too. I read every one of his books. I still yeah. do. And Creepshow was just a gift from God.
Yeah.
Like, it really was. And, I know I got to read the script that he wrote for The Girl Who Loved Tom Gordon.
Yeah.
Gordon. Yeah. Which is not a horror. Well, it is sort of, but I don't know how I didn't even think he could make it to a movie when I read it.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant. And I remember him telling me when I interviewed him the first time, they had Dakota Fanning lined up to play the part. And then she made Man on Fire,
mm-hmm.
and she blew up, and their agent went, see ya.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but that's another one, another Stephen King one. That
it's, you know,
away.
When you look at the film work of George Romero, it's just amazing. I mean, the guy, he was an innovator. He was also an amazing icon, not just in horror, but an independent filmmaker, fiercely independent filmmaker. Yeah. Before there was an independent film movement of any kind, there was George Romero.
Yeah.
And if you look at his work, you know, I don't think he's ever made a bad movie. There are some movies that are better than others and some that are just okay. I don't think he's ever made a bad movie, and he certainly made many great movies and a few masterpieces as far as I'm concerned. My favorite is Dawn of the Dead.
Same.
My second favorite is Martin. And then
I don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
Well, this isn't real because I can't say anything about it officially. There may be a chance to see Martin on the big screen in the Chicago.
Is that right?
Before the end of the year.
That would be amazing. That's if people have not seen that movie is just
most people haven't.
It's
I don't think
great
certainly
film.
They have not seen it on the big. I've never seen it on the big screen.
I saw it at the Three Penny.
Oh.
Yeah.
I would not want to watch that movie there.
It's yeah. This was in the 70s, too.
There were guys out on the street who were that, were Martin.
This was in the 70s, too, man.
Yeah,
and
no way.
Yeah, my dad and I went to the Three Penny Cinema to see it. Martin is a great film, and I really hope. I mean, that would be fantastic if he could get a big screen release. It really would, because people need to see that movie. It was Romero's favorite of all of his movies.
Yeah.
But you know, of the later stuff, like when he went back into the zombie stuff with Land, which is a great movie.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really love Diary.
And I know you do.
Says
the quote on
well,
the
yes,
front of the
I'm
box.
Quoted on the box, but I think that movie was way ahead of its time. Despite the fact that he chose MySpace,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? Because you watch it now, and all the social media stuff is great. It works.
You can't get it all right.
But he was way ahead of the game. You watch that movie now; it's what's happening right now.
Yeah.
And that was his thing, though. He did that in every one of his movies.
Yeah. He was. I said this in a Facebook post that the first question I always asked him, either on stage or on the phone or wherever, was, what's pissing you off today?
That's it.
And it was never something personal. It was always something big,
right.
Something about society, something about the government. And then, weirdly enough, usually that, whatever it was, worked its way into one of his usually zombie movies. So
yeah.
If a horror, somebody said the greatest horror movies always say something about society, and he always did that.
That's always true. It's true of every one of his movies.
He was an old hippie, and he never let go of that.
And, he was an amazing guy, and obviously just a true artist, and will be missed in the world of cinema. But just as you know, like you and I kind of got to know him.
Yeah.
Astonishingly nice man, and funny, and cantankerous, and. It was a joy to get to know him.
I love when someone asked us. I won't say stupid, but someone asks like a dumb question.
It happens.
Okay, I won't say stupid. I'll say dumb. But
right.
No.
At the Q&As, it's inevitable.
The way he would react was just priceless. Like he would, and he didn't hesitate to go, what the hell does that mean?
One of my other heroes. You know, obviously, I got to meet John Carpenter as well, and I was doing the Q&A at Carpenter at Flashback, and someone actually asked why he divorced Adrienne Barbeau. I'm like, why would you? And so normally, like, if someone asks a stupid question when I'm doing a Q&A, I'll jump in and insult the person so that the star doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I started to, and Carpenter's like, I got it. and like, stopped me and then like, said, shut this guy up. And it was so funny. And my favorite, Romero was always fantastic at Q&As. I remember the last time he was, you and I both did the Q&A together, and it was so much fun. But my favorite ending of any Q&A I've ever done was Carpenter. And it was, this is going to be the last question. I got to get a hold of my drug dealer. That was how Carpenter ended his Q&A.
I mean, we're all thinking it. Let's
exactly. All right, Steve, hang on.
Yeah.
We had to reminisce a little bit about George Romero, who was a staple at Flashback Weekend, which is August 4th through the 6th at the Crown Plaza O'Hare. Lots of great stuff to do. Check out flashbackweekend.com for all the information, the schedule, the screenings, the events, and all that cool stuff. And we'll talk more after this on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiCiglio here on 720 WGN, and we are joined here by Steve Procopi, who is the Chicago editor for Ain't It Cool News and one of the hosts at Flashback, along with me and Heather Wixon. And it's going to be a great, great weekend, always a fun time. A ton of people are going to be there, and a giant Nightmare on Elm Street reunion. Victoria Price, the daughter of Vincent Price, is going to be there.
That's an interesting – I like that get. That's a good one.
It's a great one. Ken Foray, who's been at Flashback many times.
My hero.
From Dawn of the Dead and From Beyond and so much more. Yeah. A massive Nightmare on Elm Street reunion, as I said.
Several different films represented, without a doubt.
Without question.
Lots of people from Freddy vs. Jason would be happy to see.
Yeah, which is a movie I enjoy.
Yeah, yeah, same.
Heather Langenkamp is going to be there from the original. Amanda Wiss from the original. They could have a Better Off Dead reunion with her and Curtis Armstrong.
That's right. I was thinking that, too. You know, if you haven't heard it, or maybe, I don't know if you have access to, Scott Weinberg and Drew McWeeny, who's a film critic out in L.A., they have a podcast called 80s All Over, and they have bonus material that they give to people who actually give a little money.
Yeah.
And Scott did an amazing interview with Amanda Wiss, went through the whole career for like an hour.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's awesome.
You forget some of the early stuff she was
doing. Oh, yeah. She was great. She's great. She's going to be there.
Yeah.
And there's a Revenge of the Nerds reunion because Booger, Curtis Armstrong,
yes, right,
and Ogre, Donald Gibb, are going to be there. Booger and Ogre. They were sworn enemies in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're a great singing group, though.
Yep. Well, listen, I know that you just got back from Montreal.
Yesterday.
Tell me a little bit about the Fantasia Fest.
Fantasia, I believe, is the longest-running genre festival in North America. I think this year was the 21st year. They just play this incredible array of horror and sci-fi, lots of action, you know, anime. Just anything that isn't, you know, a Merchant Ivory movie, basically. Just anything that has, like, a little bit of kick to it.
Yeah.
And they pull a heavy emphasis on the non-Canadian and U.S. stuff, a heavy emphasis on sort of all parts of Asia and India and Pacific, you know, just all over there. And then so basically it's just an incredible, and you just nosedive into it. It's kind of like Fantastic Fest that happens in Austin.
Mm-hmm.
There's like Sidious in Europe that has it, or Fright Fest. I guess that's more horror, but they really have a great taste. Just is great. The people that run the thing are great. It's all very centrally located. So you just, once you're at the theater, there's just a couple screens right across the street from each other.
Right.
In Concordia University.
Is there anything that stood out? I mean, I know you were there for a while. You saw a lot of stuff. Was there anything that you wanted to mention?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. There's one called Poor Agnes that I think was one of my favorites. Certainly had one of my favorite performances in it. So just imagine your sort of standard issue serial killer setup, small town, a serial killer picks off people that they meet on an online dating site, but it's a woman and all her victims are men.
Mm.
And it's done completely seriously. It's not done as a parody just imagine a serial killer scenario, you know, kidnapping, torture,
mm-hmm.
not too bad, but it's like kidnapping and just. Except that the gender roles are reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And for some weird reason, you have to figure out why it bothers you more that it's this way, because it does. And you can't, like, you can be as an advanced male as you think you are.
Right.
It still feels weird to have a fairly good looking woman, like a cute blonde, like, but tomboyish and in a small town, doesn't stand out. She's the perfect cover.
Is it an American movie?
It's a Canadian film.
Oh, Canadian. Okay.
I think a lot of people had interest in buying it there. And I wrote a review, and the filmmakers found me the next day, and they're like, thank you so much for writing that. Because, I mean, it's and other people have said similar things about it. The woman who plays the lead goes, her performance is so, it's like goes from sweet and innocent to just vicious.
And it's Dear Agnes.
Poor Agnes.
Poor Agnes. Poor Agnes. Poor Agnes. Yeah. Okay.
Probably the most fun movie I saw there was called Low Life. It is probably the most, how do I put this? The most Tarantino-esque film I have seen since Reservoir Dogs that isn't trying to ape Tarantino in the writing. It's just something about the structure and about the slickness. And then there's like a luchador at the center of it. And it's so, I can't even describe. There's organ stealing and it's vile and. It's a small masterpiece. It really is. It's a small film with huge ideas.
And there's a luchador as the center.
One of the key figures.
Is a luchador. All right, I'm in.
There's about four or five chapters that all kind of meet at the same place. Not unlike Dunkirk.
And, right. No, there you go.
So close to Dunkirk. No,
yeah.
No, except with a luchador. But no, it's a luchador is a Mexican masked wrestler.
I guess we should explain that. My listeners, I think most of my listeners, seriously, if they're listening to this show, they know what a luchador is.
So it's not really played for laughs, although there's some really funny stuff in it. It is. I don't know how they're going to put it out as an R-rated film, so they may not even try.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty violent in a couple places.
All right.
And then there were two documentaries I really dug that we'll probably get. I think one IFC already has, but one's called 7852. It played at Sundance. It is literally a 90-minute movie about just the shower scene from Psycho.
And cool.
The impact. It dissects the scene practically frame by frame, but it also talks about that scene literally changed cinema and changed what you could get away with.
Oh, that's cool.
In certain movies. And there's a lot of backstory and a lot of like showing how Hitchcock used similar techniques in different ways in The Birds and some other things.
Right, right.
It's fun. It's kind of like being given up class on just one scene.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So it's very cool. And then there was another one, I mean, called King Cohen, about Larry Cohen.
Oh,
he was there.
Oh,
Michael Moriarty introduced him. He is older than I remember.
That's fantastic.
And the movie's great. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I mean, it just goes through all his early TV stuff.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know very much about, but the guy was like a master comedy writer as well as a dramatic writer. And
Larry Cohen, by the way, is one of the greatest exploitation directors of all time.
Yeah,
and writers, because he wrote a lot of great stuff.
He wrote a lot that he didn't direct.
Exactly, and a lot of it was great. Well, that's cool. Those are great.
So yeah, those are the ones that just jumped out right away.
All right, awesome. And people can follow you. What's your Twitter handle?
Oh, it's at Capone AICN. So for Ain't It Cool News.
Ain't It Cool News.
And you can, AICN.
Yeah. AICN. So, and ain'titcoolnews.com for stuff that you're going to be posting more stuff from about Fantasia.
Yes. I mean, Fantasia still goes on for like another week and a half or something. It's like it's over 3 weeks long.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's still going on. I just went this second weekend.
All right.
It's a phenomenal festival.
So what else are you looking forward to at Flashback besides obviously Suspiria and the Nightmare Reunion and seeing 4 on the big screen outside?
As often is the case, there's like individual people I'm excited to see or see again. Catherine Isabel was there a few years ago, and she was great, but she was just before she was on Hannibal. So I want I'm so excited even if it's just me and her talking. I don't know if she's going to do a panel, but I want to ask her about Hannibal.
Absolutely, yeah.
You mentioned Amanda Wiss before. Also, Serena Vincent's going to come back. She hasn't been there for, what was the year you said?
2006.
Yeah,
it's been a long time.
Over 10 years. Yeah. And I just saw her a couple of years ago at Wizard World here in Chicago and for a Tales of Halloween thing that she did. Or it was for the U.S. premiere, I think, actually there. And so yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing her again. I think you mentioned Ken Foray. Like I said, he was one of my first, if not my first, like serious hero.
Yeah,
like just a hero, a screen hero.
Ton of other people. Nancy Loomis from Halloween. Lou Temple from the Rob Zombie films is going to be there. The great Lance Hendrickson, who you heard on the show last week. His Q&As are always great, and I'm going to be doing that one. And in addition to all the other really cool stuff, Sven Gulli's going to be there, for God's sake.
He's doing something on Sunday, isn't he? Is he doing another one of his?
He's there just on Saturday. Only there on Saturday.
Okay, he's not doing a movie again.
No,
this year. Okay.
But you can get all your tickets and all the information. There's a lot more going on. We're just scratching the surface. Flashbackweekend.com. Come up and say hi to us. We're there August 4th through the 6th, the entire weekend, and it's going to be a blast. Steve, real pleasure, man. Thanks for coming down.
Thanks for having me.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We got the news coming up next.